Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to talk about a wonderful children's book for the Christmas holiday season, Princesses and Peas, a Christmas love story by Terry Boucher. What it truly is about is a story of engagement and being able to, I think, almost see about the beliefs, the qualities of people, how they connect, and how they want to have the best for their children, and how parents really want to be able to say, how can we help others? So, Terry, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You're so welcome. Terry, I think the story, Princesses and Peas, being a Christmas love story, I really find that it is about parents wanting the best for their children, but also being able to say, how can we encourage love when isn't the Christmas season all about love, don't you think?
Yes. I had that in mind as I was writing it, that I wanted it to be definitely a love story, but also one where they had the interaction of the parents and also the different social status.
Right, because, you know, I think sometimes we say, someone falls in love and then their parents don't like them and it's, oh, whatever. And it's always kind of this other type situation. But really in here, everybody wanted the best for everyone. They just didn't know what it was at the time, don't you think?
I would agree with that. In fact, when Kevin's mother, Queen Victoria, first meets Taryn, who is from a lower social class, she is actually charmed by her, but she has this bias that sort of prevents her from seeing it.
Right. Don't you think sometimes our beliefs and the way in which we see others tends to really, I think, come, it almost seems like it comes on fire around the holidays. Parents will say, oh, well, you're bringing them, or, oh, where are they from? First words out of everyone's mouth is, what school did you go to? What kind of job do you have? As if they need to compare it to some standard, don't you think?
I would agree with that. I think that's the way people almost view their identities as to what they do for a work or where they went to school. It is something that we've sort of built into our culture.
You know, it's interesting. I live here in New Orleans, and every time you meet someone, the first words out of their mouth is, oh, what school did you go to? And many of us would equate that to, what college did you go to, right? And truly what they mean is, what high school did you go to? Because that shows what neighborhood you came from. And then you could further the conversation. Oh, my mother knows you. My sister knows you. Maybe you went here. And it goes into that conversation. Isn't that so interesting? It's such a difference.
It is very interesting. When I was growing up, we had only one high school. So high school wasn't an indicator, but we had three different middle schools. And the three different middle schools were used in that similar way.
Yeah, isn't that interesting, you know? I think sometimes we want to know where people came from or who their people were around them so we can say, do we have anything in common with them? Or perhaps we can see how maybe their values or their morals might show up. Do you think that played out in your story too?
I think it did play out a little bit in my story. You had the royal family, and then you had the mother wanting Kevin to marry someone else who was in that same social strata. And it really was her primary concern was the social strata and not whether Kevin was actually going to fall in love with this person. It was almost as if that was the afterthought, that Kevin would learn to love someone if they were from the right social strata.
Right. And you know what? I think, how about the idea of control? Many times parents will say they will go to all ends to be able to control an engagement of their children with someone that they don't feel is up to snuff or maybe to the right quality. I know in some areas of the country, that's really not a problem, but in many areas, it is a significant problem. Do you think that it's always social status, financial gain, your place in society? What is it truly all about?
Well, when I was writing this, I was trying to come up with something that I thought, of course, would be an entertaining story.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in a lot of the traditional fairy tales, you do see that playing out, where you have a royal family, and then you discover someone who might be from a poorer social strata, such as, you know, Cinderella is a classic example of that. And so that was sort of the cultural background I was bringing to this. And the interesting thing is that when I first draft of this story, I mm-hmm. actually did not have it being a king and queen. I actually had it being a governor of a local town, because I wanted to actually make them closer to the people.
Right.
When I talked with the editors for the first go around, they said, you know what, this is a children's story. Children know what kings and queens are, so make them kings and queens.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I think also, too, though, by sharing this social bifurcation, we're really teaching children to be able to recognize things that are out there in the social, you know, status. But also, too, we want to see, by reading your book, Princesses and Peas, to the children or having them read it themselves, they can really say, do I agree with this social status bifurcation or do I not? Sometimes the kids say, wow, that's not so cool. Or others will say, wow, I saw that play out already. Don't you think it's something to give them to reflect on?
I think it is. And one of the things I wanted to capture as I was telling the story was that you really want to marry someone who is going to be your kind of your soulmate, someone who connects with you at a deeper level than just that surface level of, you know, who's among the royal class or the aristocracy, as opposed to who might be of the, you know, the more commoner class. And,
right.
And that was one of the stereotypes I was playing on in this story to try to break that.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we bring up these stories, it's also two generations are reading the stories to children. So just as in your story, an elder was be able to, we won't give away the story, but we'll say an elder reflects and says, well, that truly wasn't the meaning of that. Maybe when an elder is reading the story, a child will say, well, Grandma, how did it work out for you? You know, or did you ever encounter this in your life? I think so. It not only is for their benefit, but it also is about engaging a conversation about other times and, you know, other generations. Yes.
Oh yeah, I think a good story will do that. I think a good story will inspire people to think beyond the immediate story and how it might play out in your life. And I've read stories that have done that for me, that take me outside of the story, but I almost apply the lessons from the story to other aspects in my life that I encounter. And it's, books have an amazing ability to do that.
Right. It definitely makes a difference, because I think sometimes kids will say, oh, but I can't connect to it. But once you're able to engage the story and bring it to life, it really takes on another level, don't you think?
I do. And I try to put some humor in there in places that I thought a 21st century child could relate to. And some of the, you know, one of the places in there where I referenced a futuristic imagination from Kevin that is actually happening today. And I said, oh, yeah, kids will look at that and they'll say, oh, yeah, look at that story. It's talking about what we do today.
Right. Right. It does make a difference, I think, when you're able to have these little things. But they're not just blatantly there. You really need to be paying attention and really be aware. And that's what you're really commanding from the kids, is to pay attention to the story as it unfolds, yes?
Oh, yes, yes. And I think you have to have a logical flow to the story to try to make it be a little more believable. One of the things in this story that I was aiming for was, obviously, there are going to be two rivals for Kevin's affection, but I didn't want to make it be one was all pure and one was all evil. They both had their strengths and their weaknesses, just like a normal person would. It wasn't that one of them was evil. She just maybe went off a little too much with her ambition.
Right. Don't you think also, too, it also shares about the concept of what is a fib, a white lie, or maybe something that is done where we really believe it might be A-OK to be able to say something that might not be always the truth, and to kind of challenge that concept, don't you think?
I did want to challenge that. You know, in the story, mm-hmm. you'll see where there's some little white lies that are told, but the person telling them is trying to rationalize them in their mind, and you see how it still they're looking for what they want so badly that they just try to push that to the back of their mind.
Yeah, I think the idea of how can we help our children, and I think mostly the idea is that we can help them as best we can, but it's truly up to the children to create their own life. Do you think that love always looks the same in all generations, or do you think it comes about in different mysterious ways?
Well, I think love in and of itself is the same throughout the ages. I think different cultures might have slightly different expressions or different manifestations of it. But I think love is eternal, and so I think people always, you know, to really love someone means to wish the best for them, to wish the good of the other, as Thomas Aquinas would say. And so I think that's a universal value. And so sometimes what a parent has to do is realize that loving someone and wishing the best for them also means letting them grow up.
Right. And also, too, what I think is great about your book being a Christmas love story, a lot of times we say love is so romantic and we kind of miss out on that. You know, a lot of kids now will say, oh, yeah, I texted them. Yeah, we did this. And it seems to have lost a lot of its mystery and magical and mythical qualities. And when you put it at Christmas time and, you know, it just seems to bring that you know, Christmas comes around every year, so it kind of reminds you. And in other words, you always have this feeling and this sense that always shows up, and it kind of does something. It switches over your regular life, you know, your mundane life, into a magical life, yes?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. And one of the reasons why I wanted this to be a Christmas story was because Christmas is such a fun time of year, and I wanted this story to be something that people would treasure and maybe read with their children several years in a row, like something like, you know, other books that are out there, like the Polar
right.
Express.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference. And what I really enjoyed, too, is that there are definitely some of the sides of the pages. You have a lot of extra room. And what I always encourage kids and people who are reading to children is to write down the date on that page. And if you think of something, write it there. And then when you're reading the book next year and the year after, you kind of almost have your own kind of how you grew up and how you engaged in the story. And if grandmother read it to you when you're now 18 or 20 and you picked it up, you know, and she read it when you were 2 or 3, there's a great little note. It's almost like a little remembrance kind of token, yes?
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful idea. I think you really are onto something there. It's a great way to create memories. I know when I was a kid, I remember my mother would, you know, I was one of 9 children, and I remember my mother would sit us down and she would sing Christmas carols, and I still remember her singing Up on the Housetop and Jolly Old St. Nicholas, and I can remember her melodious you know, voice as it's singing, and I always treasure that.
Yeah, I think how we create memories and how we are able to just to be able to engage with them and enjoy them. You know, time goes by so fast we don't even realize it, right?
That is true. I started writing this book when my girls were small, and now they're both grown up.
Wow, yeah. So interesting. You'll have to have them write the next chapter, right?
Yeah, my younger daughter majored in English and theater, and she's very interested in storytelling through theater and through the written word.
Interesting. Well, you know, Terry, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here to talk about your children's book, Princesses and Peas, A Christmas Love Story, because I love to share children's books where people could say, okay, it's not about, you know, just the pumpkin that coming down the road. There's actual life story in there. There's actual things that they can learn, and there's something in there that really provokes conversation. And I call these New Age children's books, and I definitely think yours is one of those.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me on. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yes, my book is listed on Amazon. You would search for Princesses and Peas, A Christmas Love Story. It's also available on, I have a website, www.terrybaucher.com, which right now is set up for this book. I am planning to write a sequel to it. Hopefully that will come out next year. We'll see how time goes with that.
Very good. Well, Terry, it was such a pleasure to have you with us, and we would like to extend our wishes for you to have a happy holiday with your family.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Terry Baucher and his book, Princesses and Peas, A Christmas Love Story, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to his website for more information. This New Age children's book is definitely something that will help your children learn a few lessons, be able to engage in conversation, and be able to say, you know what is love all about, what is it not, and how can we find it? So many great topics to be able to discuss with your children around the holiday season. And to you and yours, have a wonderful Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.